Good morning. It is the 19th of April, 2024. It's Friday in Easter tide. We're going to talk today about this absurd meeting Francis has been having, series of these with the Council of Cardinals, about how to essentially make women feel more included in the life of the church. And now this is a big farce. This whole thing is a big farce with anybody with eyes to see will be able to see it. But first I want to show you what I consider to be a real opportunity for you here. So we're going to make sure this is so you can see this. You have this opportunity to go see professional Francis fan fiction writer, Austin Ivory. He is described in this advertisement for the speaking campaign or speaking thing he's going to do in Ireland as a, quote, renowned author and biographer of Pope Francis. He's on his visit to Ireland, where he will give a public talk about the journey on which Pope Francis has taken the church over the past 11 years. All are welcome. All are welcome. Now that's interesting. See, if I had the ability to get to Ireland, I would love to ask him some questions. He's got me blocked on Twitter, but as you can see here, if I pop that up, that's what happens. If you just highlight somebody's at and they have you blocked, that's all you see. And if I were to click on the account, it would show me that I can't see anything. He blocked me a long time ago. I don't know if he blocked me because he found out that I was calling him a professional Francis fan fiction writer, or if it was just because I'm, you know, a traditional Catholic on Twitter and he doesn't want to deal with me. I don't know. But let's take a look at what this actually is. It's a public talk, Pope Francis, Humanity Spiritual Director, given by Austin Ivory, who is a broadcaster, author, and biographer of Pope Francis, explores how the world's first and hopefully last Jesuit Pope has been profoundly shaped by the spirituality of Saint Ignatius, not just in his own life, but in the way he leads the church. So this is happening 1 week from today, on Friday, the 26th of April at 7 p.m. in Gardiner Street Church in Mountjoy, Dublin. All are welcome, followed by refreshments. So you can drink some fruit punch and have some cookies and rub shoulders with Austin Ivory. If you are in Ireland watching this, this is obviously an event you cannot possibly miss. So you should go totally check this out. Ask, you know, listen to his presentation and then ask him some very pointed questions, actually. But do so with respect. You don't want to. He has the kind of pull in the church, especially in the UK, where you don't want to cause more problems than you might think. There was a Latin Mass community in his hometown that wasn't doing everything to the letter of Traditionis Custodis, and so he caused them a big headache. I reported on that last year, or maybe the year before now. But he has a lot of pull. He is, after all, the official biographer for the English language for Francis. So, yeah, make sure you don't miss that. I wanted to give an update also on the give, send, go thing. A viewer, for those who might be watching this for the first time in a few weeks, he launched a give, send, go after hearing my Easter message where I updated people saying, hey, we got baby number four on the way. And this is some curveballs came with this that we were not expecting. I didn't ask for a fundraiser, but he started one. And I had to listen finally to the advice priests have given me before. Whenever somebody offers you help, please take it, because it was my own pride getting in the way. So we're actually at 85% of the goal, which is incredible. I'll have a link in the live chat later and in the comments below in the pinned comment if you would like to assist. Let's get to our story, though. It comes to us from Info Vaticana. This is the main story. It comes with this headline. For the third consecutive session, the Pope and the Council of Cardinals address the role of women in the church. And there's a picture from the meeting. It really does look like deaconettes are coming. Put an asterisk next to that, though, because Francis is giving us his reassurances that that's not going to happen. In the same way that he told us blessings for James Martin types weren't coming either. But if you don't know what the Council of Cardinals is, the Council of Cardinals was established in September of 2013 to help advise Francis on how to run the church. Its membership has always included some conservative cardinals, as well as those who are very clearly Francis's ideological allies. The council exists still to this day, but the membership has changed almost completely over the last 11 years. Here's the member present membership of this council. To give you an idea, you will recognize some of the names. Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State, which is sometimes called the Vice Pope. He is also considered one of the front runners for the conclave that will replace Francis when that time comes, if that happens anytime soon. Some dispute that he's Pape Bile. We will all find out together. And then Sean O'Malley of Boston. And then Sergio de Roca of El Salvador, de Bahia, Brazil. Oswald Gracias of Mumbai, India. Fernando Verges Alzaga, president of the commission governing Vatican City State. Jean-Claude Hollerich of Luxembourg, who is one of the co-chairs of the Synod on Synodality. Gerald C. LaCroix of Quebec. Juan José Omeo Omeo of Barcelona, and Fridolin Ambongo of Kinshasa, Congo, as well as Bishop Marco Molino, who serves as the council's secretary. Most of those names don't fill me with confidence. The Congolese bishop is one of the better ones. I'm not as familiar with everybody there, but there's a lot of questionable and very suspect cardinals on that. The council has lately been meeting on how to make the church more welcoming and inclusive of women and their role in the church life of the church. So we're going to go over this a little bit. So, quote, the cardinals and the Pope met at Casa Santa Marta on April 15th and 16th. Among the topics discussed were the role of women in the church, the synod, the application of the Praedicate Evangelium in the diocesan curias, the social, political, and ecclesial situation in its various regions. The Holy See confirms in a statement that during these 2 days, the cardinals in charge of advising Pope Francis more closely have once again peddled the role of women in the church. On this occasion, there were again female guests at the meeting. Participating alongside the Pope and the cardinals were Sister Regina de Costa Pedro from the Congregation of the Missionaries of the Immaculate Congregation, who contributed the stories and concrete thoughts of some Brazilian women, and Professor Steia Mora, professor at the Faculty of Theology of the Pontifical Gregorian University, which examined the role of cultures in the recognition of the role of women in different places on the planet. At the previous meeting of the Council of Cardinals held in February, the Pope invited Sister Linda Hoker, daughter of Marie Help of Christians and professor of Christology and Mariology at the Pontifical Faculty of Educational Sciences Auxilium in Rome, to the meeting. Giulivia de Bernardino, consecrated woman of the Ordo Virginum of the Diocese of Verona, teacher and person in charge of spirituality courses and spiritual exercises, and Joe Bailey Wells, whom the official Vatican media presents as, quote, Bishop of the Church of England and Deputy Secretary General of the Communion Anglican, of the Anglican Communion. Little translation issues here. I think you get the idea. At the December meeting, the cardinals, who are part of the Pontiff's core advisors, also discussed the, quote, role of women in the church. In that session, there were contributions from lecturers and theologians, including Sister Poker and later Lucia Vantini and Father Luca Castiglione. Italian theologian Linda Poker was one of those who participated in the February meeting and assured that the pontiff, quote, is very much in favor of the female diaconate, although she specifies that ordaining women priests is not on the table at this time. There is no reflection on the priestly ordination of women in the Catholic Church, Poker emphasizes. In statements to Europa Press, she noted that, quote, there was also talk of the diaconate. We already know that the Pope is very much in favor of the female diaconate, but it is still something that we are trying to understand how to put into practice. Privately, a collaborator close to the Pope assures this medium, meaning Info Vaticana, that the Pope has no intention of advancing in this field, even if it awakens illusions around him and among the groups demanding this measure. In other words, he's not going to advance this source claims that they are not Francis will not advance the ladies diaconate, the deaconettes, even if it gets the hopes up of these people. Okay. Pope Francis is committed to incorporating women into decision-making positions within the Vatican, as he is already doing, but a very different thing is that Francis dares during his pontificate to change an issue as delicate as the diaconate. A different thing is that he is paving the way so that whoever comes after him might dare to do so. End mostly quote. Again, having to fix some of the weird translation syntax here. Now, the article goes on and says that in November, he called it a theological problem and not an administrative one. And that's absolutely true. If there's anybody who wants the diaconate opened up or the priesthood opened up runs into a theological problem, to put it very mildly. In fact, that's Francis underselling it, because it's not just a theological problem, it's kind of a dogmatic problem too. But here's the thing. Most observers expect a non-ordained women's diaconate that will look like and act like in every way a sacramental office, but not one officially, complete with a non-sacramental ritual for giving this office to women. But it will look very, very formal, almost like an ordination itself. And once that happens, we will almost certainly get reports of bishops ordaining women formally. That is what most moderate observers expect. There are some more harder line traditionalists who think that Francis is just going to just do an ordained deaconette, but I don't think he's going to go quite that far. But you should expect him to go to backtrack on this issue on the things he said, because quite simply, he did that with the topics of Fiducia Supplicans. And before that, he did that with the topics in Amoris Laetitia. So we have no reason to take him at his word on that issue. Forgot to properly set that up. So there we go. All right. And that's all interesting. Look, I'm sure that a lot of people find the deaconette issue endlessly interesting. But there's something that looms large over all this. See, earlier this week, people began asking questions of Cardinal Roach. You might remember Cardinal Roach. He was the mastermind, or one of the masterminds behind Traditionis Custodis. And reportedly, he wanted Francis to issue something harder than Traditionis Custodis as a follow-up. And Francis allegedly told him no, which probably means not right now. He's got other things he needs to worry about in the immediate. Let's let Traditionis Custodis actually get fully implemented. Well, people have been asking question of Cardinal Roach and his dicastery for divine worship and the discipline of the sacraments, because a yearbook was found for this year that still lists Father Marco Rupnik as a contributing member for that dicastery. Initially, they didn't respond to the request for clarification that were being made by media figures. See, Rupnik looms large over this whole program of Francis that's trying to involve women more in the governing of the church, since Rupnik had a demonic habit of going after nuns and coercing them to participate in what sounds suspiciously like ritual magic focused on the violations of the sixth and ninth commandment, along with obviously violations of the first commandment, since we're talking about ritual magic here. I know that some of that sounds really out there to say out loud, but you have this kind of odd story here where did my tweet of that go? But you had a cardinal, Cardinal Napier, was taken to Twitter just going off about how unjust it was to go after Marco Rupnik. Cardinal Napier had defended him, saying that this was essentially him being possibly still involved in the dicastery for that Cardinal Roach's dicastery for divine worship was basically just a helping a sinner. That Rupnik was a sinner and he deserves mercy like everybody else, and everybody else should just lay off him. You get the idea. The people began asking if Cardinal Napier owned any pieces of so-called art by Marco Rupnik in his private collection. And this is creating a kind of a weird thing where you start to see people, high-ranking prelates, defending Marco Rupnik in some weird way. His name included in that yearbook, as well as cardinals now saying he's a sinner that Francis is trying to rehabilitate. It's creating this kind of look that creates an obvious problem. Rupnik is still apparently working the dicastery that oversees religious orders. At least that's what it looks like. It's an obvious problem, almost as big of a problem as Rupnik still walking around free instead of being confined in some way by the Vatican. One news report describes it honestly this way. So we're going to go to New Daily Compass for this, with this headline: Prelaska and Rupnik, there's an air of brazenness in the Vatican. I'm going to go down here to here. You see, it's not just Rupnik. They've also had this figure tied very closely to the Vatican financial stories. The funding of Rocket Man with the Papal Foundation money, or with the Peter's Pence money, the real estate stuff going on in London that the Vatican should never have been involved in. One of the figures key to that has been given a job again in the Apostolic Signatura, which is bad enough. But those kind of crimes involving material stuff are bad. They are, but nothing like what Rupnik has been said to be involved in. But here's, let's just stay focused on Rupnik here. He said, from this article, we get this, quote, another less than reassuring message that the Holy See transmit to public opinion is the one contained in the Pontifical Yearbook 2024 on page 1346. Among the consultants of the Dicastery for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, in fact, the name of Don Marco Rupnik, a priest incarnated in the Diocese of Kopara after being dismissed from the Society of Jesus last June, following accusations of bad things made against him by several former nuns, and whose, quote, degree of credibility of what was reported or witnessed was considered by superiors as very high, meaning they were considered very credible. A mystery has been hovering over the page of the yearbook for days. Is it a printing error, or is it true that the Slovenian priest currently under investigation by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith continues to carry out the task for the body responsible for ensuring compliance with the liturgical norms? The mosaicist's name is followed by the acronym SISJ, or SI, which marks the society, which marks the Jesuits, although he no longer belongs to the Society of Jesus. Among the accusations made against him, however, there is also that of former nun Gloria Bonacciani, who, putting her face to it in a press conference, told how Rupnik would have induced her to, with another nun, engage in violations of their vows and of the sixth and ninth commandment by invoking an emulation of the Trinity. Just to let you think about that, don't picture, but think about those words and how evil that is. La Nueva Bucela, the actual name of New Daily Compass, asked for clarification for the dicastery led by Cardinal Roach to find out how things are. As of this writing, however, no response has been received. Yeah, because they don't want to answer this question. This is not a question they want to answer. The Vatican has reinstated, allegedly, someone at the heart of the Vatican financial corruption mess, and they are sheltering Rupnik. And the question is, what message is this sending to the world? Let me know in the comments section or the live chat what you think that message is sending to the world. Now, we get this sort of late hour update, though, on all of this from one Mr. Michael Haynes, who gave us this headline because he finally got a response from Roach, and it's absolutely unbelievable. And they've got an article over at LifeSite. You can read it if you want. This gives us enough, though. Just in, Vatican's Congregation for Worship told me that Father Marco Rupnik is not a consultant for the office, saying that the 2024 Pontifical Yearbook is out of date. Rupnik made consultant in 2017, and his five-year term supposedly ended in 2022. So, this dicastery expects us to believe that the yearbook has not been updated in 2 years. If you find that as unbelievable as I do, let me know in the comments, because this is, on its face, nonsense. This is absurd. It's a dumb excuse, a really, truly, profoundly dumb excuse. We were told that it was just a mean old accident that Marco Rupnik's name was, as a consultor, was still listed in the yearbook 2 years out of date. Either Cardinal Roach is running a sloppy operation there, because any information in the Vatican yearbook is going about his dicastery is going to come from his office, or they're just hoping we all forget this and let it go away. My suspicion is it's the latter, that they, for whatever reason, they're keeping Rupnik around and they want him there and they hope we just forget all about this. And it could be because of some weird misplaced loyalty to the Jesuits, after all. And that has long since been whispered in Rome that the Jesuits are the ones who control everything in the Vatican and have for 30 years at least. Hence why it's been reported by numerous sources that people would write letters to Benedict XVI asking him to take care of the Ted McCarrick problem in the church. And most of the time those letters would never make it to him, that he would never see them. And that he was aware that there were people who basically curbed his authority at his office door, and that they were mostly Jesuits. Is that the reason why Rupnik is essentially still operating there? Because I don't believe this at all. Like, I would assume that Mr. Haynes probably doesn't believe this, although I could be wrong on that. But I don't think anybody should take this at face value. I'm curious, though, what you think. Richard Wheeler says, I'm not incredulous about the severity of sin anymore. I'm only surprised by who gets to accuse and who gets to not be punished and who gets falsely accused and shut down. You're right. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? The 2024 out of date, Mikey says. Yes, the new one is out of date. I have worked in low-tier publishing before, And the amount of care you go into, even in things like a yearbook, anybody who could get hired to work in the Vatican on that is going to have credentials. And anybody with remotely qualifying credentials to work in the Vatican in publishing in any way is going to have credentials to not miss details like that, especially ones about something as salient as Father Rupnik. We're not talking about, you know, Father Young Jesuit, right? Some relatively otherwise random young priest, or even not so young priest who is otherwise unknown, who maybe got transferred out of the Vatican and is now managing a parish somewhere, or on doing a Jesuit mission somewhere, or working in another dicastery. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the highest profile Jesuit in the church today who isn't Francis, the Superior General, or any of the Jesuits working in high profile jobs in the Roman Curia. Okay. I mean, I would argue that right now, Marco Rupnik is a higher profile Jesuit than even Father James Martin is, because of the even secular attention that the Rupnik case has gotten. Purring in the Desert says, I've come to believe that if a Vatican cleric is speaking, he's lying. I hate to agree with that, but I think you're not wrong. But yes, this brings up my kind of core point in all this. Carolyn Miller says, the disrespect shown to sisters by this pontificate knows no bounds. I keep praying for the conversion of souls. Jesus is our only recourse now. And my whole point of this is, you're having this Council of Cardinals meetings talking about trying to, you know, basically the deaconettes issue. They're wrestling with that. While this is happening, like, how can anybody take them seriously? How can even Catholics who disagree with everything we talk about here, at the very core, how can you take their talk seriously when this is happening? I can't wrap my head around it. Maybe you all can help me out. So let me know, what do you all think? Any final thoughts on this? Because we're going to wrap this up shortly here. I do have a video related to prophecy going live shortly. I do want to issue a correction that would be normally I would consider minor correction, but it's this, that I've said that the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan, and that you see that in the book of Daniel. It's not actually the book of Daniel. It's actually from chapter 49 of Genesis, chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, and Jeremiah chapter 8, as well as from the fathers of the church and others. Some of the fathers of the church have said that. So it's actually, I would say, more authoritative than the book of the prophet Daniel, not because anything wrong with Daniel. It's just you have more places in scripture, and the fathers of the church, some of the church fathers have said this. So minor correction after today's video. Going forward, when I mention the man of sin, I will try and endeavor to remember that. But let me know what you think of all this in the comments. Here is that link I promised in the beginning of the video. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.